Welcome to this week's Podcast with a K, available on iTunes, Stitcher.com, and Audioboo.
Welcome to the Podcast with a K.
With Christian Colley, James McLean, and Brian Terranova.
Welcome to the Podcast with a K. I'm Christian Colley, and with me is James... No, James McLean isn't here, is he, Brian?
No, he's not, but I'm glad you asked me if he was, because it let people know that I was here.
Brian Terranova
Christian
is here.
I am here.
You are here, and it's good to be on a podcast with you, because we haven't done one for a few weeks.
No, that's true, actually. Together. It's been quite a while.
Last week, dear listener, you may recall that it was myself and Gareth Cavan, and we were talking about Dot2 Magazine's 500th issue anniversary. Not its 500th anniversary. I suppose it is, in one way or the other. But yes, 500 issues since the very first Doctor Who weekly was printed back in 1979 with Tom Baker on the cover. So, Gareth's a bit of a aficionado of DWM. He's produced two Vault magazines, and issue 3 is in the late stages of production now, so we can expect that later in 2016. Yeah, I've got loads of copies of DWM. They've recently been migrated into a box, but I had issues going all the way back to the 1980s and with Colin Baker's era, which is a funny thing. Brian, I'm a bit ashamed James isn't here, because I'd like to chat to him about this next thing. And that is, I got a Doctor Who graphic novel this week, The Four Doctors.
Oh, right, Titan. Okay, yes.
Yeah. So it features... Well... In some ways it features five Doctors, but it features four Doctors. War, 10, 11... Hang on. War, 10, 11, and 12, yeah. But also there's two 12s in there. Bit of a spoiler there. But it's been out a while. It was out last year, probably nearly a year ago anyway. It was written by Paul Cornell, and there's a nice touch in there, because he's put the Reapers in there.
Oh, okay.
Which we first saw in Father's Day, which was... When
yeah,
was
we
Father's
haven't
Day
seen,
set?
Haven't
was
seen that, again. 87, right?
Is it set in 87? Yeah, it's about then, yeah. Back in the 80s again. Strange. And the Reapers, having the Reapers in there was a nice touch. And also you had the those guys from the Keys of Marinus, whose names escaped me for the moment. The Vord. They're also
Oh, right.
In there.
Yeah, they're the in there, real.
They're
wow.
also in there as well. So there's some nice touches in there. There's nice stuff going on, but it relies too much on that Stephen Moffat timey-wimey trope of just doing timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah,
and it got me thinking. I mean, has Doctor Who always kind of relied on the same things? Has it been kind of thematically similar as series go on or not? Well, I mean, so I was thinking it probably hasn't. So I'll maybe what?
No, I was just going to say I can't say that. Well, I mean, looking at the classic series, because the new series did kind of get into a formula, but looking at the classic series, I can't say that it was.
No,
I mean, they did it. I mean, there was always some sort of alien invasion going on, I guess you can kind of say that, but there was other stuff happening at the same time too. But I used to love those time bending stories, you know, those ones with time folding in on itself or time traveling through your own footsteps in time, you know, those things were great. But the second the show is just that every week, it becomes old. It's not interesting anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a shame to hear that about that book.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there's a bit of a kind of there's a drought of Doctor Who news at the moment, really. And there's not an awful lot for us to get sort of really excited about. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, this time next year we might be getting really excited about stuff. We'll be looking forward to a new series. With a new producer, there might even be talk of a new Doctor. I mean, I'm assuming that series 10 is going to wear sort of spring 2017, so we'll have an idea of whether Capaldi is staying beyond that time or not.
Yeah, right.
But I'm kind of missing the buzz of having a new Doctor to come.
You're missing it.
Yeah. That you know, that whole sort of anticipation of knowing that there's a new Doctor and he's coming along. I think with the Peter Capaldi, I think I'm pretty certain they over-egged it with the announcement show and you know, everything that followed that.
Yeah. Well, even now, just recently with the announcement of the new companion. I don't know if the hype is worth it. You know, an announcement show for the new Doctor or an announcement clip for the new companion. I get it. It's nice. I guess it's fun for them to do and so on. But I just know too many people who are underwhelmed by it all, you know?
Yeah, I'm not
sure.
I have
to agree.
Yeah, am I underwhelmed? I think I'm just whelmed, really. I haven't quite reached underwhelmingness, but yeah, I think I'm just whelmed. But yeah, so that excitement. I mean, what would it have been like to, just thinking about this in a bit more depth, right? Say it was 1984, and you knew there was a new Doctor coming along, and you've just watched the best episode of Doctor Who. What would the podcast be like then? Yeah, you're listening to the Podcast FM. I'm Christian Corley, and with me is Brian Terranova. Hey, that's a great tune there. And coming up, we've got local, international, and national news for you. But before that, hey, Brian, I see that we've got a new Doctor coming along next week after last night's storming, and I mean
that...
storming, cliffhanger to the caves of Androzani. What's happening there, man?
Well, it looks like Peter Davison is vacating the role. And, as word would have it, it looks like Colin Baker is the new incumbent of the lead character, Doctor Who.
Absolutely. This wasn't a surprise to us, was it? I mean,
we knew
the guy was leaving, but to see the Doctor and his companion, in particular, Perry, placed in so much peril, and seeing the Doctor try and sort it out in such a way was quite exciting last night.
Oh, well, absolutely. I would have to say that was quite a stunning exit for Peter. You know, more like that would have been great during his era, I gotta say, but this new guy coming in, you know, the old mop top's coming back in play, I'm expecting good things from this Doctor.
Yeah, it's Colin Baker we're talking about, if you're not aware of this out there, and he's not related to Tom Baker, and he's also not, as someone suggested to me, Tom Baker's son either.
Oh, I've heard both of those rumors there, Christian, and I have to tell you, until you said it right now, I didn't know.
Well, we're coming back to Doctor a little bit later on, but just to clue you in on what's going on, we've got, what have you got in the top 10 in the US there, Brian? I'm pretty sure it's probably someone like Jump by Van Halen's probably doing quite well.
It is indeed, actually. You've nailed it. It's almost like you're here with us. I'll tell you, though, it's Van Halen going up against, well, Michael Jackson. So, you know, it's pretty much neck and neck right around here with the two of them. And Michael Jackson's got about like 50 songs in the hit number one over here. So it's really hard to just pick one. But, you know, we're all jumping for joy over here.
Yeah, I'll bet. And Van Halen, of course, doing absolutely superbly with a new album, 1984. I really can't see that band splitting up the way things are going for them.
Oh, God, no, not at all. That would be craziness. Who would ever imagine such a thing?
Now, here in the UK, we've got 99 Red Balloons by Nana in the top five, which has been doing superbly. That's an English version of a German song by Nana called 99 Luft Ballons. Now, coming up, we've got a bit more about the most recent episode of Doctor Who, Episode 3 of The Caves of Androzani. But until then, here's a bit of music. Hey, that was a great tune, Brian.
Yes, it was quite a great tune.
Listen, I've been reading the Aquitaine Progression by Robert Ludlum. Maybe I'll send you over a copy.
Oh, sure, yeah, I'll start reading that straight away. You know me and books.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I don't know about you though, but if I were you, I would be checking out Star Trek III: The Search for Spock and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, because, Christian, if you're not watching these films, you don't know what a film is.
Yeah, well, I really like Indiana Jones, so I may well check that out.
They're topping the charts over here, I can tell you, sir.
Yeah, so this is Star Trek 3. This is a film after The Wrath of Khan.
That's right. Well, you know, The Wrath of Khan did so successful. It really rebuilt the franchise after the motion picture kind of situation went on, and then you know, you're not gonna spoiler alert for those who didn't see The Wrath of Khan 2 years ago.
What alert?
A spoiler. It's something that people started saying here in America. It's a little bit of a weird thing. I don't know. I'm hoping it'll kick off. We're trying to make it happen.
Well, I can't see that catching on here for a good 20 years. But do carry on.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. Okay, basically what it means is this, you know, I'm going to ruin a big plot point of the movie for people by telling you something here. Spock dies at the end of The Wrath of Khan. What? I know, it's crazy. But don't worry, people, because they're looking for him now. It's the search for Spock, Star Trek 3. You got to get out there. You got to support this. You got to find Spock. You got to bring him back.
So you know, he's dead, but they're still looking for him.
Right. You know, it's, you, believe me, it's nonsense, but it makes total sense when you see the film, I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, I loved Raiders of the Lost Ark. So the idea of Temple of Doom sounds pretty exciting.
Oh, believe me, it was an exciting ride. I got to tell you, the stunts in this film that they pull off, when you go see this, Christian, you go see it. It's only been out here for a short while in theaters, but I'm telling you, you're going to love it.
Okay, last time I went to the cinema, I was, let's just say, overindulged on some Wessler's hot dogs. So let's hope that doesn't happen again.
You guys don't do the buttered popcorn out there then, huh?
It's a little bit difficult to come by in the 1980s. Yeah. We're hoping the situation will improve over the next 10 or 15 years.
Such a different world over there to here, you know.
Isn't it just, well, you know, we don't have drive-ins either. So.
What? I got it. That's where I saw The Wrath of Khan. I got to tell you, during the space battles, when you're watching the movie at night and the nighttime sky makes up the rest of the blackness of space, you are missing out. How do you guys not have drive-ins over there? That's incredible.
It's probably the weather. Listen, speaking of Star Trek, and you're right, you said how The Wrath of Khan sort of reinvigorated the Star Trek motion picture franchise. But the first movie, I mean, I've always wondered what the hell they were playing at with that, particularly that sort of 15-minute flight around the spaceship.
Yeah, I got to tell you, a lot of us, kind of took a nap during that part of the film. You know, I
was napping until The Wrath of Khan.
Oh yeah, I got to tell you though. Hey, look, it was great seeing Star Trek back on the screen after such a break from the end of the 3 years that it had, the three glorious years that it had, but. You know, something just didn't feel right. Something was off about it. The actors just weren't themselves, and you know, they put too much focus, like you said, flying around that ship for 15 minutes. I mean, what was that about, really? It's like all that must have cost so much money. You know, it's ridiculous the money that these people put into things like this. But I gotta tell you, they really pulled it together with The Wrath of Khan. Everybody somehow found their footing again. I don't know. I'm going to have to say that director, that Nicholas Meyer, I bet he's going places, that guy. He really pulled the team together for that one. And you know, Leonard Nimoy stepping into the director's seat for this new one. And people, I'm telling you, if you're a fan of Doctor Who, if you're a fan of Star Trek, you need to get out to the theater to see Search for Spock. Because Leonard Nimoy, he really brought this film home with his directing. You know, his character may be absent throughout the film, but man, is Leonard Nimoy all over that picture, and it is beautiful. It is quite worth the $4.75 for the film.
Okay, $4.75, not bad. Okay, so you're listening to Podcast FM with me, Christian Corley, and him, Brian Terranova. Now, we've got to get a little bit more serious and sober for you now. We've got the news coming up later on. But here in the UK, at the moment, we are stuck in the middle of yet another miner strike. Quite devastating results for the local communities, it has to be said. Brian, what happens with striking in the United States? Is it a common occurrence?
There are strikes here, yes, certainly. Lots of union things are the strikes out here. They happen. Yeah, they happen. Anymore, you know, we get them and we just deal with them as they come. We're so... I don't know how to say this, Christian. We're so much bigger than you that we can have strikes in many of the states and you just wouldn't know it. We don't really broadcast the news so globally over here. You know, if only one day there were a service outside of television that could help us do that one day.
Sure.
You know.
So if you're involved in the miners' strike, we want to hear from you later on. So if you can get in touch with us on the usual phone number.
01-811-8055.
And just let you know, we've also got a fax machine. So if you can also get in touch with us on this number.
01-811-8056. All right.
That's the future. That's fax machines, Brian Terranova.
That is amazing technology. I mean, like, that's the fact that you and I can talk a mid-Atlantic phone call like this on the radio is incredible alone. But the fact that now I can write a note to you and send that back to you via telephone line, like that, you know, talk about Star Trek and Doctor Who. We are in the future, my friend. That is amazing.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's almost like a Star Trek Energizer. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what the heck? How does that even happen? This piece of paper goes in my machine and it comes out your machine. It's totally like there's got to be some dematerialization effect on that thing. There's got to be. That's just craziness. That's wild. It's just wild.
Well, you know, the first time I sent a fax, I was far too excited to understand what was happening. The second time, however, I actually pressed the button and said, Energize. And now back on to Doctor Who, The Case of Andrew Zani, in which the Doctor, played by Peter Davison, is struggling to find some antidote to help his companion, Perry, played by Nicola Bryant. Now, hey, Brian, I was fascinated to learn that Nicola Bryant, who only joined the show a few weeks ago, she's actually not American.
Do you know, that's actually quite surprising. I have to say she does quite a good job with that accent. Are you sure she's not American?
I'm absolutely positive. I've had this confirmed, and of course, we're probably going to be upsetting the BBC Doctor Who PR machine here. Maybe John Nathan Turner will be banging on the door at the end of this week's show on Podcast FM. But yeah, apparently she's not American. She's British as I am.
That's just wild, man. That's heavy. That, wow. Let me tell you something. That's a dynamite actress right there. I would have never guessed that.
You've probably noticed, being an American, that British actors aren't usually too hot at doing American accents.
No. As a matter of fact, I usually can spot them a mile away. I mean, it's one of those things we're good at, knowing if somebody is American like us. You know, we can tell. We can tell those sorts of things. But her, come on, that's really.
Okay, I've got one for you. I want to know, what do you think about this? Cary Grant. Now, does he sound American to Americans?
No, he does not.
Right, that's weird, because he really sounds American to Brits.
Yeah, but that's weird, because he's got the... No, he sounds different. I don't know how to describe this. But, you know, I learned this little fact about the actors of that era, and you know, there was a particular film... speech that actors of that era all tried to emulate. So, you know, a lot of our actors from that era weren't even using their regular accents anyway, just like this this Nicola Bryant. But it was designed that way. A lot of actors in on our film, just there was a film speech to use, and it sounded somewhat like Cary Grant.
Okay, so you're listening to Podcast FM. I'm Christian Corley. He's Brian Terranova over there in the United States of America, joining us by satellite phone. And we're going to talk a bit more about Doctor Who now, specifically about, it's the end of an era for Peter Davison fans as the fifth Doctor shuffles off this regenerative coil and becomes the sixth Doctor. Peter Davison, join the show. Back in 1981, as the fifth Doctor taken over from Tom Baker, his first adventure was Castrovalva, which, if mispronounced, could sound quite filthy.
Oh, yes.
So it's been 3 years for Peter Davison. What do you think of it, Brian? How's he done? Has he stepped out of the shadow, the long shadow of the tall, curly-haired man with the scarf?
I have to say, when Tom Baker left the role and I saw that this Peter Davison was coming in, and I had seen him, you know, I've seen All Creatures Great and Small, I'd seen him before, I thought, no way, who's gonna come in and take this role from Tom Baker? Like, just come on, like, that man, he is the Doctor. Now, I understand that there are three more Doctors before Tom Baker, you think you've told me this before, but, you know, they don't show us that over here,
three more Doctors. Yeah, that's right. There's Bill Hartnell and Pat Troughton and the great John Pertwee.
Yeah, see, they don't show us that stuff. So this was new to me. This was crazy for me, seeing this guy, this Tom Baker, this magical man disappear, and in comes in comes, you know, the vet doctor. You know, what's his name? Peter Davison. You know,
Peter Davison.
Yeah, no. But the who did he play?
Oh, he plays the Workshire Tristram Farner.
Tristan, there you go. Yeah, no.
Tristram Farner.
Yes,
yeah.
he was great in that show. But I thought, Doctor Who, come on, how's he going to look in that scarf? That's crazy. It's not going to be right for him. But he didn't even wear the scarf. You know, that was weird. But I'll tell you what. It took a little bit to get over the fact that good old Tom Baker was gone, that he had left us behind in the dust. But that Peter Davison, he did some good stuff. He did a lot of really good work. And I have to say, so far, this Caves of Androzani, what we're seeing there is some dynamite acting from the man.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Now, there's been a few rumors he might actually be returning to All Creatures, which is on a bit of a hiatus at the moment. So whether that show will return or not, it may depend on Peter Davison, or it may not. But Colin Baker's going to be coming along next week. Well, we might even see him at the end of tomorrow night's show. We left the Doctor this evening with his friend in jeopardy, his attempt to rescue her in even greater peril, threatened by a gun and a strange effect, like waves, overcoming the Time Lord as he attempted to, and you'll need to brace yourself for this, crash his craft into the surface of Androzani. How do you feel about that moment, Brian?
I'll tell you, I found it pretty intense. I mean, you know, there's basically all hell is breaking loose in that episode, and he's still going to crash the ship just to get back down to where he's got to be. And I'll tell you, man, it was one of the best cliffhangers that I've seen in that show for quite a while. They really got me on the edge of my seat, Peter.
And we seem to have lost Brian. Oh, here he is. We thought we lost you there, Brian. Do carry on.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the last thing you heard me say there, Christian?
Well, you're talking about the Doctor crashing to the planets.
Oh, I was just saying, well, look, you know, it's try to recapture the magic. I'm going to say that that cliffhanger was one of the best that they've had in a few years since Peter Davison had taken that role. It was one of the ones that had me on the edge of my seat. Not only that, they had Peter Davison, the Doctor himself, on the edge of his seat for that cliffhanger. And I just don't think they come much better than that.
Now, you may not know this, but this is a story written by Robert Holmes, who was a big name in Doctor Who, a big deal in Doctor Who, about 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, back during the early Tom Baker years. He was a script editor. He was responsible for all those sort of dark, moody, sort of B-movie pastiches that they were doing back then.
Well, that explains a lot, considering, like I said, you know, that Tom Baker, his episodes, his stuff, they were really some damn good stuff. And then you get this one, and I'm really enjoying the heck out of this one. So maybe they should have used more of his writers, because I'll tell you, this guy's got me so far. This story is damn good.
Yeah, I'm certainly enjoying it myself. It's been directed by a guy called Graham Harper. I think he was a floor manager back in the day. I think this is his first Doctor Who. I may be wrong in that, but he's you're doing a good job. Maybe this should be maybe he's more of an action focused director, which Harper seems to be. Maybe they could be using him more in future when our new Doctor comes along. Before we move on to the new Doctor, do you have a favorite moment for Peter Davison as a Doctor, or was that it? Last night.
No, you know, he's had quite a lot of good moments. I'm gonna have to give the fellow that. He's done a great job with the character. Going back and thinking back to one of my favorite ones, I have to say, when he faced Davros in that one story with the Daleks, you know, when he faced Davros there, when he pointed that gun at him, I thought, this man, he doesn't use guns. What is this? That's craziness. It's crazy. He had me. He fooled me. He made me think the Doctor was going to do something he shouldn't do. He made me think he was going to use a gun, but he didn't. I have to say, damn, that was some damn good acting from that Peter Davison.
Okay. So coming next week, we have the sixth actor to play Doctor Who, or seventh if you count Peter Cushing, who also played the Doctor in some Doctor Who movies in the 60s. Don't know if you knew about those, Brian.
I did not. Peter Cushing, that guy from Star Wars and those Hammer horror films?
That's the guy, yeah. He played Doctor Who twice. In two Dalek movies. We should probably check Doctor Who Monthly or Starburst for the details there. It can get a bit hairy.
Wow, okay. Well, hey, thanks for pointing that out for me. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, you look those up. They should be available on VHS.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go to my local library and see if they got any of those Doctor Who Monthlies, too.
Sure. Speaking of local library, I was at my local library just the other day, and I picked up a copy of the Great Genesis of the Daleks on cassette, and I was listening to it on my Walkman on the way to the studio.
Oh, now you see, that would be great. That would be wonderful. Being able to hear these stories when you're walking out there or even driving, that's amazing. See, I need one of them. I need a Walkman like that, and I need that tape. That's incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll see if I can send a copy over to you.
You know what? You're dynamite, man. You are amazing.
There's no problem. I've got a twin cassette recorder.
Fantastic. Wow, that's heavy, man. That set me
back a weekly allowance, I can tell you.
I can imagine. Technology like that doesn't come cheap, you know.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. Okay, so looking forward, Doctor Who's future. It's all change in the TARDIS for the Doctor and his new companion, Perry Smith Brown. And he's going to be changing his face. What do you think he's going to be like?
Well, you know, he was such a drastic change after Tom Baker. I'm expecting that they're going to bring back the comedy again. You know, they didn't let Peter... He didn't do the comedy that Tom had. You know, I missed that. I missed that comedy. And this guy's got the curly hair. You know, I think that wild curly hair, I think that's going to be it. They'll probably bring the scarf back. They'll probably let him be funny again. And I think he'll be wild and zany again. I think we're in for a fun ride with this guy. What do you think?
I can see the attraction of that. I think rather than do that, I think they might make him more of an action hero again. I think the outfit might just be not a sign, but kind of a distraction. I think he might be a bit of an action hero, a bit like the John Pertwee. You don't know John Pertwee, but he was kind of like a James Bond in the TARDIS. Lots of fast cars, motorbikes, boats, planes, that kind of thing, and. Yeah, I think they should be going down that route again. I mean, they want to stay away, I think, from making the Doctor kind of miserable and grouchy and like the original Doctor. He was an old guy. He was irascible. He was bad tempered. That's not the way forward, I don't think.
No, I can't imagine. But no, that action hero bit, that sounds good. I would welcome that. That would be neat. This Pertwee, he sounds like a fun guy. I'm gonna have to check those out too. Are they on VHS?
Oh,
did they hit VHS yet?
Yeah, they're. Well, there's probably one or two available on VHS. Yeah, most of them. That's officially. Fortunately, we're not on the BBC. We're on commercial radio, so we can probably reveal that there are a few bootlegs of Doctor Who doing the rounds on both Betamax and VHS formats, and on film as well.
Nice.
So. Yeah, they're very difficult to get hold of unless you can find someone who has a copy or find someone who knows someone who's having a screening. Conventions are good places.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll tell you what, that was where I actually picked up one of my first episodes of Doctor Who. Conventions have some great stuff, I will just say it that way.
Okay, now here's the latest new tune from Fleetwood Mac.
I don't know. That would be weird. I mean, because technically, I mean, if you want to go back for me, that would probably be really kind of like my first like real experience with a new Doctor. Like as I got to know them, I didn't really know the Tom Baker to Peter Davison change. You know, when I realized what was happening, I realized like this is kind of weird. What's going on here with this thing? But. Getting an actual announcement back then, back when like from my end as a kid then, not understanding the show and how it worked, that would be really strange for me. But I mean, you grew up with the show. You knew about the changes and everything. What would it be like for you?
I don't think I did know, to be honest with you. Not until the last episode, anyway.
Yeah. See, that's think about, go back. Let's go back now, actually, to 2005. A whole new generation of kids getting to watch the show for the first time, and even an older generation like us watching a new version of the show for the first time, and checking out Christopher Eccleston playing the role. And we've mentioned this before, but the fact that they tried to surprise us with the regeneration at the end, they tried to give us that moment, that Hartnell to Troughton moment, and shock everyone. And man, if it didn't leak, if news that he was leaving after the first episode aired didn't leak, I wonder if it would have got us, because, you know, you and I and people like us watching that scene when Christopher Eccleston, probably even before that regeneration energy hit his hand, we probably would have known something was coming just by the way he was acting, you know. And then once that regeneration energy hits his hand, we would have been like, oh man, no, like we would have been so shocked and it would have been so awesome. But you won't get that now because they don't try to hide it now. I mean, even what with Peter Davison, you know, I remember Doctor Who magazine. There was an announcement in the back of Doctor Who magazine showing Colin Baker sitting in a lawn chair wearing a white pinstriped suit. You know, so they did even announce it back then. But it's like, you're just never going to get that shock factor again, are you? I mean, I wonder what kids see it as, because, yeah, the internet's all out there. But do kids actually read that stuff? Do they keep up on that? Do their parents tell them, or do they shock them with this surprise regeneration?
Well, Bruce has seen the parting of the ways, and he was certainly surprised.
Well, that's good.
He, you know, he had no foreknowledge. Obviously, he knew the doctor. He knew the doctor has different faces, and he was familiar with the doctor, you know, the 10th Doctor beforehand. But he didn't know what was happening.
So, what was he like then when it actually changed? So he had known the 10th Doctor already. Was it like excitement that he's going to get to see the 10th Doctor again, or was he sad
that
Eccleston was leaving?
He was sad. Yeah.
Oh, poor kid.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. That's cool. It's a good reaction, though. Even if he knows, that's still a good reaction because he doesn't know when. And that's great. At least it's working for some people. That's really great.
So that's this week's podcast with a K for you, dear listener. We hope nothing interrupted your enjoyment of this week's show. We'll be back next time. It's goodbye from me.
Oh, and me too.
Yay. I was thinking to myself, go on, say, and it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from me. Hey, there's no James. We can do what we want this week.
Timey-wimey. Right.
Oh, man, we missed the opportunity in the 80s show to have an 80s outro where we do that and say that we just saw it on a bit of Fry and Laurie.
Oh, yeah, we would have been a bit too early, though.
Oh, damn. So, yeah. This whole time travel thing, it just can't get the hang of it.
It is, you're right.